Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new year, and we thank you for this new season. We thank you, Father, for your perfect ordering of our lives over the years and to lead us to this point now, a time when we can see your glorious plan for the church beginning to unfold. We just praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Father, that you are faithful in empowering us to hold fast the vision, regardless of what the enemy attempted to bring against us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are Lord. And we thank you that you are all-powerful and all-knowing. So we give you all the glory and praise and honor, Father, in these days. And we just thank you that now things will begin to unfold rapidly, and there will be an acceleration in the Spirit. And we will see the mighty words of prophecy that have come forth over the years come to pass in ways that are exceeding abundantly beyond all we could have asked or thought, even in light of the revelation that we had. So again, we just praise you and give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to begin teaching. I got an instruction from the Father to begin to share some of the exhortations and words of prophecy that he gave me over the years. And now looking back over 20 plus years, I'm seeing the extreme importance of these words. And because basically the job of the fivefold ministry is to lead the people of God into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ, to lead them into the unity of the faith, to lead them into one accord, and thus lead them into that place of power that God desires for each Christian to walk in. And so going through them, I have many, but just as I was going through them, the Holy Spirit quickened me as to which ones to share. So I'm just going to go at his pace, and we'll just see where this goes over the next number of teachings. But these are our key words, and I'm just going to stay on each one as long as the Holy Spirit wants me to. First of all, just looking at the word exhort, the dictionary defines it, it says to urge by earnest appeal, advise or recommend strongly, to utter or give exhortation. And the word comes from the Latin hortare, to urge, and ex, out of or completely. So to urge completely. And it draws the picture of an absolute God always speaking, always doing, always saying to us what is best for us in any given moment. And I look back over these words as I'm going through them. I'm amazed that God prepared me for every situation I would run into perfectly. Now, I didn't always pay attention. So if I didn't obey, then I had to learn from the wrong side. And then I realized something was wrong. And I'd go to him and he'd lead me back to the word. And I'd say, oh, I should have obeyed that. I should have paid attention. So one thing that's very, very important is that we have a choice. We're going to learn the rest of our time in this earth and throughout eternity. But it's better to learn from the place of an abiding obedience than to be disobedient, finally figure out something's wrong, and then go back to the place that God took us to in the first place, which we just had to pay attention. Because this is a time of, if I could put a word over this year, it is pinpoint accuracy. Because God is raising up a people who are going to move, not deviating from their own path at all. But they're going to be walk in revelation, and together we're going to be a mighty army that causes great things to happen. So the first word is, there are no shortcuts when there is only one path. Now that brings to remembrance, again, these absolute statements of God. It brings to remembrance the narrow path, the highway of holiness. And the shortcuts, what that really means to us as Christians, especially when we first began to serve God, we're always trying to figure a way, because we haven't, at that point, hadn't been led to walk by the Spirit. But I'll tell you, in this year, you know, we talk about accountability. Well, each and every Christian is accountable to be led by the Spirit and to walk by the Spirit and to move by the Spirit and to speak by the Spirit, to be empowered by Him in all things. And I will say this, that in those places where the Holy Spirit is not given proper control over the lives of the person, they are going to wander out into darkness, because we are going to need the counsel of God, the wisdom of God. And we should be a people by now that realize that God's way is the only way, and it's the best way. It doesn't matter what it seems like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It is the best way. So there are no shortcuts. And I used to be an expert at making shortcuts. I was always looking for the easy way. And I've since learned that the easy way is not God's way. It may seem like a temporary fix, but actually it leads us onto that road or that path where the end of it is death and darkness. And this was a key word. Maintaining close and intimate contact and fellowship with me is the safeguard against self-exaltation in the ministry and to the maintenance of being a pure channel and vessel of my love and power. So, you know, when I started out, without going into all that stuff, I really started from scratch, having ignored my call for 9 years, unconsciously, but nonetheless ignoring it. And really, I went into this thing, and by faith, I gave my heart wholly to God. Now, that didn't just happen immediately. He's still working things out in me and others. But the thing is, there was a spiritual transaction that day. And so as I began to go out and pray, and I began to know him, and I began to study and meditate in the Word, I was asking him questions. And as these questions came up in my heart, these are the answers that he would give me. And they've served me very well over the years, because no matter what happens, I could always go back to the different scriptures and the different words of prophecy and exhortation, and boom, it would hit it. Because from the beginning, he was revealing himself as an absolute God to me. Because it's very important for every Christian to have that revelation. If we don't know him as an absolute God, then there's always those shortcuts. There's always those deceptions are allowed to get in concerning his character. But when we understand that he's an absolute God and he says what he means and he means what he says, then we can move into a different realm, the realm of the kingdom. This is why the world and the kingdom are at opposite poles. Because the mind behind the kingdom is different than the mind behind the world. So he said, maintaining close and intimate contact and fellowship is the safeguard against self-exaltation. Now, you know, we've learned a lot over the years, and God is raising up humble people, a people who are totally dependent upon him. But I have a few words a little later on I'm going to share. With the different things that are about to happen and transpire in the church, because we are going to be a blessed people. We are going to be blessed to the point of being a sign and a wonder in every aspect of life and ministry. And two things are going to happen because of that. One, there are people going to try and jump on the bandwagon, and there are people going to tell you how wonderful you are. But God has trained the people who will not listen to that. Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll share a bit more on that. But to maintain close and intimate fellowship with God is a safeguard, a spiritual safeguard against self-exaltation. And when people come with a wrong motivation, you're going to know that. And you're going to be able to handle that. And you're going to just continue to give God the glory in all things. Very, very important. And first, and secondly, it's also the maintenance of being a pure channel and vessel of his love and power. And that's what it's all about. He wants to come and be what he wants to be and do what he wants to do, and he's going to do that through us, and we need to be pure. The people who aren't will not be used, cannot be used. And then, you know, he warned me, like I said earlier in the prayer session, in the early years, he took me through some things that gave me glimpses. I can see this perfect weaving and preparation over the years, especially now, looking back. And he really did prepare me. And he gave me words that concerning the accusations, because we all know that. When you have a heart wholly given to God and you just simply want to share the revelation that God has blessed you with, you don't really expect in the beginning for people to jump down your throat or try and prove you're wrong in all those negative things. But nonetheless, it happens. Just like it says in the scriptures, if a person even desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, they will be persecuted. If they don't, they won't, because the devil has them under control. But if a person even desires, they will be persecuted, so we need to be ready. So he began to give me some words, and then different things happened after these words to confirm it. And I would always go back, because in those days I was extremely set apart unto him. I mean, I guess it's a way of life now, but I didn't know very much, for one thing, and so it was a simple faith, but it was an absolute faith on him, and there was some amazing things happened, but there was certainly a confrontation, much like we are going to be confronted with in these days, as far as the Civil War goes. So he gave me this word. He said, "You need not fear any lies or slanderous accusations which are brought against you. For every tongue which accuses you in judgment you shall show to be in the wrong. Now, I mean, that could be, when you keep walking in love, it will be shown to be in the wrong. Again, sometimes you don't see that right away, but we just keep walking in love. Only abide in me and let my words abide in you. For your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of the evil one. And I will deliver you, for vengeance is mine, and I shall repay. Again, these are all, they've become such absolute principles to me now, but you have to remember when I was starting out, I had to believe that with all my heart, and it was almost a conscious effort at times just to go over and over and over the scriptures and over the words of prophecy just to keep on going. But he's faithful. And so, you know, I'm saying to you, we're a prepared people, and we will stand, but we will be walking in these different kingdom principles to stand. Now, some of these words, they deal, really, he began to reveal to me the different characteristics of the glorious church and what would happen in the days, in those days. Again, I didn't know it was going to be that many years, but I can see his perfect wisdom now. I have no problem with it at all. As a matter of fact, you know, it's just by faith we're ready, even though we know that he's gone to great lengths, but only he knows what's ahead, too. And he's not going to send his beloved children out into battle unprepared. But this is one of the manifestations. Again, talking about the third day anointing. There will come a day, my beloved ones, when men shall flee in terror from your presence. Now, we've seen a type and symbol and a pattern and a glimpse of that in the nation of Israel, when the nations became in a place of dread before them. It was the presence of God that was with them, and God's presence will be with us. So he says, there will be a day when men shall flee in terror from your presence, for no sin will be able to stand in the presence of my spirit. And from you, he's talking to those who are faithful, he's talking to the remnant church, shall flow not just trickles of living water, but torrents. Now, that's very important. I had a real sign. Every time I drive by Partial and go around that corner to go up the hill there, there's like three forks in the Colorado, and the river comes down, and where the three meet, there are torrents. So you see, what he's talking about, as a number of rivers begin to flow, it causes a torrent. And that's going to be so individually, it's also going to be so corporately. But that torrent, the water's very docile, not that many yards that side of it, but boy, where those rivers come together, it's a torrent. And that's what's going to happen in these days. So not just trickles of living water, but torrents which shall flood out upon all flesh. And through this process, my church shall, capital C, from the beginning, God always had me, when I was writing about the glorious church, use capital C. When I was writing at the church at large, just use a small c. Just as a little, it was helpful to me at the time, but it also, you can't lump all these things together. You're either walking as the spotless and unblemished church, or you're walking as the church at large. So it was very, very helpful. So he said, and through this process, my church shall enter my refining furnace, and my spotless and unblemished church, full of my glory, shall stand before me. Blessed are those who serve me and walk uprightly before me, for they shall ride the crest of this great flood of my spirit in the earth, and greatly shall they be exalted. And again, when I talk about God exalting people, that means that he is going to bring his faithful children into a place where they will be given the platform to release everything that he has blessed them with. It's that simple. See, it doesn't even have anything to do with what, you know, our plans, what we would plan. This is why it's such a perversion for people to presumptuously carry out quote-unquote Christian activity, when in reality they have not even acknowledged God and they are still seeking glory for themselves. But the people who are faithful, they will ride the crest of this wave. And I remember having a vision of a surfer. I've never done that. I understand Jason almost did or did. But, you know, to ride the crest of that, because obviously a terrible disaster in Asia, but if you picture riding the top of that tsunami, then you wouldn't be in the damage where the tsunami landed. And that's the type of power we're talking about here. So again, it's positioning. He said, blessed are those who've humbled themselves before me, because they'll ride the crest of the wave of this glory. And then he talked to me about speaking and the reaction to what we would get. This isn't just from the pulpit. This is from just in our daily relationships and speaking to people in general. It encompasses the whole thing. But it's the same principle. You know, the reaction will be based on the heart of the person that you are speaking with and God leads you to speak to. He said, as you speak to my people, it makes no difference whether they shout for joy or are offended by the words you speak. For it is I who have given you the words to speak, and in rejecting you, they have rejected me. Now that's another very important principle, and one that every Christian needs to get hold of. When people say things against you, when people reject you, it's because they've first done exactly the same thing in their relationship to God. I mean, I'm talking about believers now. That it's always the case. And so we don't need to take offense at what people do. It's an absolute principle, and we're going to see that in this day. Our job is to just walk with a heart wholly given, walk with a pure heart, and maintain a righteous motivation by the power of the Spirit. And then, you know, you could say one thing to one person and say the same thing to another person and have two totally different reactions. Why? Because the state of their heart before God. That's very important. You will see that in these days, for sure. This is why I told my disciples as they entered into various villages and cities to shake even the dust of that place from their feet if they were rejected. But if their word was accepted, my blessing came upon that place. So it is with you. For people will soon see that if they reject your word, they will be devoid of my blessing. Another key principle in the glorious church. When God sends forth his anointed sons and daughters, they're going to speak into situations. And it's just like it says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, I believe, if you trust in the prophets, if you listen to their words, if you hearken to their words, then the blessing of God and the prosperity of God will rest upon you. Why? Because God, out of God's love, he wants his wisdom to be partaken of so that people can prosper. But people who stand up and say, well, that's, I agree with part of what that prophet said, and I don't agree with that part, and so on. I'm talking about true prophets. They will see in these days, they will be devoid of God's blessing because God is raising up a pure people who speak a pure word. It's not that complicated if people truly love God. But that will end in these days. There will be no more picking and choosing or taking words that maybe tickle their ears and fit in with their agenda. No, the third day anointing will blow that away and make all things clear. And it says, so those who hearken to my voice shall be blessed greatly. Therefore, you can see that from this separation, the chaff and the wheat, it shall not take long to complete. And that's very true. This is going to be the most intense time of the church in the earth. And it's going to be a glorious thing. And, you know, Marsha, you've been talking about freedom and liberty. And that's really been on my heart, too. And of course, I shared in that time that I was caught up. I shared a conference one time. And that's exactly one of the things I experienced. I mean, there wasn't even a thought for bondage. There wasn't even a crossroads of decision. It was a powerful flow of the Holy Spirit, and just moving and abiding in his power and his presence and his wisdom. We have some great days ahead of us. You can be assured of that. Another word concerning this. Whether one is offended by the words you speak or blessed to such an extent that they seek to exalt you, it is still the intention or motive of your heart which will determine who receives the glory. In other words, this is something in the true servant of God, son and daughter of God, that's already been settled. And God has taken great pains to settle that in us so that when we go out where we're led, whether it's from the pulpit or whether it's at the grocery store, we're going to speak and do exactly what he tells us to speak and do, and he's going to receive all the glory. We don't have to stop and say, oh, Lord, I don't want to take that. It's already settled. It's a heart thing. It will be free to boldly proclaim his word, and he will automatically get the glory. That's a great and a pleasing thing to him. See, if we exercise faith in God and faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, it not only does it please God, but it ensures that God will be getting all the glory. Very important. It's, again, like night and day in these days, because people who have maintained self-agenda, and the root of that is self-glory, even if it looks like it's for a good cause, doesn't count with God. A heart's either wholly given to God or a heart's living for itself. There's no place else to go with that. And that's a good thing that will all be exposed in these days, because the principle of leaven on the positive side and the negative side is working radically, bringing people who've been faithful into that place of an entire consecration and holiness, and people who have maintained fear and pride and so on are going to be consumed by darkness, and it will be like night and day. They will still have an opportunity to get free, and many will. So he says, "Rejoice, my beloved one, my beloved ones, for your hearts are wholly mine. And I say to you this day that the heart which is wholly given to me shall never seek to exalt itself. Proceed with great boldness." Remember, the righteous are as bold as a lion. "Putting forth my word in love. There shall be those who consider you arrogant in your boldness, but all their judgments are based on the very things they themselves practice." Romans 2:1, an absolute principle. One of the principles God revealed to me, and it helped me over the years to discern what the devil was trying to do. And I began to understand that if people weren't speaking out of a pure heart, then they were speaking from their own experience, their own agenda, and laying it on me or laying it on others with me. And that's an absolute principle. And if you stop, you can really hear that, and the Holy Spirit will reveal that. But when people speak a pure word, that's not a problem to discern. And it's always edifying, it's always building up, it's always for the greatest good of God's plan for the, you know, in the body of Christ. So they're based on the things they themselves practice, and they have no concept or realization that I delegate my authority to those whose hearts are wholly given to me. I remember in the early years, there was a real negative mindset of unbelief in the church, and there really weren't very many people that I ran across that could even imagine that a man or woman of God could stand up and deliver a pure word. Something had to be wrong somewhere. And of course, that's sin consciousness. But I'm telling you, in this third day, God is raising up people who are wholly given to him, and there are pure words going forth. We've been blessed to see that and experience it on a consistent basis, as have many others around the world. "For truly I say to you, those of my children who continue to walk in the flesh shall in some way be motivated by fear and seek desperately to find their security in an area outside of my word. And they shall not recognize the truth, though he or it stands right before them." Didn't that happen in Jesus' ministry in the earth? He stood right before them. They didn't even know he was the Messiah. Most of them. Some of them did. Again, a heart thing. Those whose hearts are not far from the kingdom will come in radically and serve God from the position of a whole heart. But those who have been in, perhaps even been in the church for years, will be controlled by that spirit of rebellion if they don't let go. And it's not like the warnings haven't gone out. If people are truly seeking the pure word of God, then he's well able to lead them to the place to feed with what they need. "But only proceed, going where I have sent you and speaking all that I have commanded you to speak. Quite simply, I will take care of the rest." You know, and I just went back to that scripture where he said, you know, don't be concerned about what you're going to say, you know, if you're going somewhere or something scheduled. Just trust God. He'll give you the words in that moment. And believe me, he proved that word to me a number of times, because in the beginning, I had a lot of fear in that area. And every time he was perfect. And of course, as your mind is renewed to the mind of Christ, you begin to realize that our ways aren't his ways or in the natural, or our thoughts aren't his thoughts. And then it doesn't become so strange anymore. We get to the point where we begin to understand, and immediately we begin to see the wisdom in what he's doing. And even if we don't see it then, we'll see it at some point. And then he began to teach me about what would be the greatest curse against the third day church or the glorious church, and that would be envy and jealousy. That is the thing that the devil is going to attempt to use, but I'll tell you, God has already prepared us to overcome that. So I'll explain a bit about that. He defined the spirit of envy. He said it causes a feeling of uneasiness or discontentment at another's superior advantages. And believe me, the remnant church will have superior advantages. And they will be seen by all. a dislike or discontent because of the superior excellence or success of another person. The root is based on a fear in that one of someone getting ahead of them in the affections and love of the Father or others in the body. Now, I have to tell you, that's a fairly immature attitude when the reality of the situation is that every born-again person on this earth has a destiny in Christ, and if they will enter into the presence of the Father and they will put the Word first in their lives, there is more. His will for them not only is more than sufficient, it will thrill their heart time and time and time again. So this is folly for a Christian to be caught in a spirit of envy and jealousy, and God will not deal lightly with that in this hour. It's not a good thing at all, because here there are a group of people on the earth wanting to get closer to God, and then there's people the devil's using to try and discourage them, and so on and so on and so on. And the people who keep seeking will be fine, but the people who are used by the devil will not be unless they repent. So getting ahead of them in the affections and love of the Father, like there's not enough love in God to go around to everybody. Well, I mean, I'm not making fun of this because it's a very serious thing, but all these schemes of the devil to come against the people who are truly seeking God, he's preying on that ground of insecurity and fear that has been allowed to remain in the hearts of people. And this is one of the chief spirits he'll use against it. And for our part, our job is to go forth. And he explains here how we're to stand against this easily in this last hour. So the devil's greatest scheme, God has prepared us to stand against it easily. And here it is. Oh, first of all, finish this. Fleshly anger and jealousy, or rampant emotionalism. I've seen some of that over the years. He gave me a word about how the anointing of the third day would affect people and cause a rampant emotionalism. And I had a number of incidents, and it was unbelievable almost. It's just people just ranting and raving and screaming. And I mean, you didn't even say anything except a simple statement from the word. But nonetheless, he's preparing us to stand. So he said, they are manifestations of the spirit. Now here's a word the Father gave me about this. He said, the spirit of envy which seeks to manifest itself in and against, and I'm going to call it the third day ministry, or the ministry of the glorious church, is continually foiled as my people walk in the power of the cross. It always goes back to that, see? People try and get all spiritual and ethereal, and they're all bent out of shape on resurrection power, the power of the ascension or the authority of God, but they forget the cross. And I mean, they're just a loose cannon out there with any kind of authority, let alone the authority of God. So the fact is, the key is the power of the cross. A people who are humble before God, a people who depend on Him entirely, a people who pursue the art or the practice of self-denial. I mean, every time we deny ourselves, it brings forth blessing from God, and it sets in motion a number of things. Of course, you know, I'm well aware of the fact that it's not that easy sometimes because we allow ourselves to get overwhelmed. But again, God is fine-tuning us, and God is bringing us into the place where it will be a spontaneous manifestation of our love for Him. Brady said something a few weeks ago which really registered with me, among other things. He said more than a few things, actually. The fact was, he said that, you know, I found myself most of the time 90% going to God or something for the purpose of survival. Well, I could really relate to that, because through the first many, many years, it's like, oh God, what do I do next? So out in the country, I go to pray for 6 hours because I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm seeking to walk by faith. You know, I have a chance to compromise on every side. And so every day was like that. But there came a point in my walk where I thought, you know, Father, I'm coming out here because I need your help, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just didn't feel in times where I was being blessed and prospering, I just kind of put my feet up and relax, not consciously, but, you know, unconsciously, and violated the principle. It says, when riches increase, do not set your heart on them. You know, that's a very subtle thing. It's not always that obvious. And so I finally, when Brady said that, I got to think. I said, you know, really the chief desire for everybody that truly loves God is to be motivated solely by our love for Him. It doesn't matter who we deal with or what situations we're in or even what our location or spiritual positioning is. Let us be found doing all things simply because we love Him, we adore Him, and we're greatly thankful for what He's done for us. And if when the Christian rises up into that place, many, 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 many things immediately fall away. And the devil becomes a distant enemy in the sense, even if, you know, you're running across things that he's doing, of course, but it's distant because it's not getting anywhere near your heart. So that's very important. And of course, we're going to spend eternity doing that. So why not do it now? This is the time where we really have an opportunity to love God. I mean, really love him. So this has been a big problem, and it will be. And let me tell you why this spirit of envy and spirit of jealousy will escalate. Because we will become and are becoming a people with superior advantages. We will have the gifts of the Spirit working fully. We will see the fullness of the different offices of the fivefold ministry. We will see the people walking in the fullness of God's destiny for their life. And that is going to cause mighty things. I've said this before, but I can meditate on the glorious church, and God gave me a vision. I can still see it. It's almost continuous. And I can see the glory of God, and I can see the remnant church behind that glory, and I can see activity. But it's just too wondrous to even describe. And this is where we're going. And I don't think we should be surprised that when God has an opportunity to manifest himself in an unlimited way in our midst, that he can do great things. When Jesus said there'd be greater things than he did, that's good enough for me. We should believe that. Okay, so the key is the cross then. For in living the life of the cross, there is no ground for this spirit to operate from. And truly I say to you, those who allow themselves to be held captive by the evil one to do his will shall reap what they have sown. Our job is to walk in love. Our job is to remain dedicated and steadfast in spirit towards God and his plan, and this spirit will fall off us. People get jealous over stupid things. They can. But in this last hour, we will be seen to have superior advantages, and we will be seen with the Father's hand upon us, and it will cause a great jealousy to rise up. And isn't it silly? Because, again, the simplicity of the matter is that they could enter into the presence of God themselves and receive the love that he has for them. But he will not deal lightly with it, because it's not that they understand what they're doing, but it's what the devil's trying to do. Love those who come against you, and pray for those who persecute you, that they might be led into repentance and the full knowledge of the truth. That should always be our aim, that people be led into the fullness of kingdom revelation, the fullness of third day revelation. Not settle for this aspect of the covenant or that aspect of the covenant. No, the full covenant. So people understand exactly what Jesus did for them, and will be then, and because of that, they will be totally empowered to do what he would have them do. Another word, view all. There's that word, Brady. View all that would serve to remove you from the high life as poison. Now, God spoke that word to me a long time ago, and I mean, I was a little slow. You know, of course, we like to get our little definition of what poison might be and not be, but really, that poison is defined by God. And if I could summarize that without getting into all things people should do and shouldn't do, it's simply to put aside all the things, or view all the things that are not profitable for walking in kingdom life, or remaining in that place of his abiding in his word. The things that are not profitable. That's different for every person. This isn't a legalistic thing. This is a spiritual thing. And so, you know, God will teach that to each one of his children. And then we will learn to view those things as poison. Why are they poison? Because they remove us from the high life. And some of these things aren't necessarily bad, but they're not profitable. And I'm not going to go into that right now, but, you know, there are certain things that there's nothing wrong with them. But if a person partakes of them, the next thing you know, they're just falling out of that spiritual plane they need to be on. So that, again, that's between each individual believer and the Holy Spirit. So we need to view that as poison to you, and always realize that even the smallest things may be the most important ones to be cautious of. For oftentimes they are a point from which the evil one will attempt to begin his wearing down tactics. Now that's very, very important, that revelation about wearing down tactics, because as the Christian grows and becomes more spiritual and more aware of spiritual things, then the devil has to do a little more subtle things. And he'll begin with a little point, and if we just get off a little bit, it begins a wearing down process to make us not as alert as far as our faith goes, our love dims a little bit, heart grows a little hard, so on and so forth. And then, of course, he tries to get his attack in there.
So we have to really be faithful in the little things. And that again is a kingdom principle. If we're faithful in the little things, we'll be faithful in the big things. You know, a lot of others, I remember when I started out, I had the idea, you know, well, God, if you just give me some big things and I'll be faithful in them. He gave me some big things. I wasn't faithful in them. Finally, I learned that, no, it's in the little things. And if you're faithful in that, you'll be righteous in much, in all things, really. When my children reach the point where they will not allow themselves to succumb to even the smallest intake of poison, spirit, soul, and body, then truly they will be walking in all the fullness I have to offer. And they will be walking in my command to guard their hearts with all diligence. Very important. You see, there's only diligence and negligence. There's nowhere else to go. You're either being diligent in any given moment or negligent. And truly, truly, I say to you, from them shall flow again torrents of living water to the thirsty masses. So you see, God loves us and he wants to bless us personally. That is a given, and that is definitely true. But the fact is, we are blessed to be a blessing. So there's great purpose behind everything that he does in our lives. And even when we've gone through things that seemingly or never seemed even that they were going to end, there was always purpose. And again, I've talked about it before, but in 1 Thessalonians 5, having that revelation that regardless of what we do in obedience to God, in love, it is never in vain. Never, 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 never. So it's very important to have that. And then I had an experience I'll share with you. I don't think I've shared this too much, not lately anyway, but I remember it so well because I was doing a fast and I really, really needed some, this was more than survival. This was like absolute survival because he told me to go out not knowing where I was going. And I was out praying and you know, you get a revelation when you're in the presence of God, you go, oh yeah, praise God, that's great. But you know, then it's, he told me to go out not knowing where I was going. And so that's fine, I made arrangements. The place that God had provided was a wonderful place out in the country. And he told me to go out and I knew it was a revelation. So I made all the arrangements. My landlord, who really liked me, even tried to persuade me. He said, I don't know, he says, you don't have to pay. It doesn't make any difference, but I knew I had to go. So I did. But you know, it gets a little scary sometimes, especially in those days. And so I knew that I was to fast. And so I did a 7-day fast, water only. And it was really an amazing time because I had other things going on too besides just this command to go out not knowing where I was going. And I won't go into all the other things now, but the devil was really trying to get me to compromise wherever I turn. If he could just get me to compromise and not keep seeking to walk in faith and learn to walk by faith, he would have been happy. So he had a lot of things going at the same time. So during that fast, a lot of things happened. But one thing happened was I had an angel appear to me. And it was really neat because he began to explain to me some things. And one of those things, he was explaining kind of his job. And he was explaining to me, he actually gave me like a word which fit right in with what, you know, God had been speaking to me. He really confirmed that. But this particular angel was in command of a group of angels, and they had the responsibility to protect the esteemed of the Lord. So, you know, it's quite a transaction, you know, when you're dealing in that realm, because you're really not saying anything, but you're asking questions, and they're getting answered all at the same time. So I kind of, on my heart, obviously, well, who are the esteemed of the Lord? That sounds like a good place to be in. Just before I explain that, he also said that from this point forth, he said you would be able to discern the different voices of the Trinity. In other words, you could discern the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Well, that was kind of a shock then because I was just learning to hear the voice of God. And you know, from that day forth, I've never had trouble discerning that. And so, you know, so it was wonderful. So then, the next thing that happened in that was, I'll just share this too. Just before I get into this part, during that time too, I was out walking and praying, and I had a beautiful country road. It was a beautiful country around where I lived at that time, and all of a sudden I felt this evil presence behind me. It was well back, I'd say 40, 50 yards, but I knew it was, I didn't really have to turn around. I knew it was the spirit of death. So that's fine. And there was more than one spirit there too. It was like almost like a platoon that was marching. But all of a sudden, a platoon of angels came down and went right between those evil spirits and that darkness that was there and just blocked out the darkness and stayed in place. And of course, he went on to explain to me that it's their job and they're there. I never had a fear of death since then. I mean, or what that spirit could do. So what my point is in sharing this particular part is that we have this kind of protection. We can't always see it, but it's always there. Because, you know, those people whose hearts are wholly given to God, they're speaking the words of God. Again, the importance of the authoritative prayer going forth now and the prophetic proclamation, that cannot be underestimated. That is one of the keys of the entire glorious church age. And so as we are diligent to do that, we have angels moving with great power and great speed to accomplish exactly what God needs accomplished, preparing our way. Because remember, we're going on the offensive. And that they're waiting, just rubbing their hands, waiting to go. So anyway, getting back to this, right after that, he talked to me about the esteemed of God. I had that question in my heart. So the Father spoke to me. And he said, "The esteemed of the Lord are those of my children who have forsaken all in this world with the sole intent of pleasing me." You want to know what God requires? There it is right there. "Those whose deepest heart desire is to serve my church at all cost to themselves. For it is these ones who will walk in the fullness of all that I have called them to. And truly, truly, I say to you, they shall lead my glorious church to rapture." I was going to get a little facetious there and say, "Oh, God used that word," but I won't. I mean, you know, I have to say this because that whole, as these days progress, I'm seeing that the devil's schemes are standing on shaky ground. He's built up false doctrine and religious mindsets that will be blown away as if they weren't even there as the anointing of the glorious church goes forth. And the fact is, people who are deceived into believing that there's no such thing as rapture just simply don't know the heart of the Father. It's that simple. I hear people say that, and I know they don't have right relationship with God because I know his heart, and we've seen the patterns. It's quite clear. We need to love all those across our path, but we certainly don't need to pay attention to those who don't know what they're talking about. So then, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Now, you have to remember, this is back, you know, in the beginning, but in a real critical time in my life. And so the Holy Spirit, this is what he said to me. Now, you put this in the context that I'm just learning the Word of God. He said, "If all the forces of Antichrist were to gather against you in one spot, they could not prevail to any degree at all. For the greater one resides within you." Now, of course, I spent 20 years learning to believe that. But nonetheless, you know, again, the importance of exhortation. And it's very true. And, of course, that really comes in today because we know there are many spirits of Antichrist all trying to promote and establish a kingdom in this earth where men are concerned. No. He said, "If all the forces of Antichrist came against just one of my children, they would not prevail in any way as long as that child, of course, walks in faith." Of course, you see, I don't have to say that after everything because I'm speaking to people whose hearts are holy. That's really my job. My first and foremost job is to minister to people whose hearts are wholly given. Now, some of that's going to get out on people whose hearts aren't wholly given, but that's their problem. I can't do anything about that. But the people whose hearts are wholly given, they understand these things, and they realize that they do serve a powerful God. And then Jesus spoke to me. This is all right in a row. He said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done indeed. I have watched you battle the evil one step by step." I mean, I'm there like with, I felt like my brains were totally beaten out. And he's saying, "Well done." You know, I'm thinking, what did I do? But, you know, it's funny. I don't know if I'll get to share that tonight. I will share it. It's just like the time I came to a certain point, and I mean, I was at a brick wall. I mean, I still had the vision that God had given me through the many years of prayer and intercession. But I mean, I couldn't see anything in the natural. No contacts at all with the church in the city I was in. And I knew in my heart that it wasn't God's plan for people to go in and evangelize the denominations to get them into this place. This is before I got the Glorious Church vision, but it was about a week before. And so I didn't know what was going on, but I was strong in faith and I had peace. But, you know, I had a little bit of baby in me yet. And I was walking along, I could take you to the street where I was walking, I could take you to the exact place, and I'm in my heart. You know, you don't always have to be saying things out loud. Hopefully it doesn't get that far. You're in that state. But, you know, it's in my heart. You know, I'm going along. I'm in my heart, I'm thinking, oh, all these years, what have I done for you, Lord? What have I done? Just seems like I've done nothing. He says, you haven't done anything. I mean, that's how shocked I was. What's that? And then he just said to me, he says, no. He said, I've done it all. And from that moment forth, I never had any self-pity. Honestly, I had a real deep root of self-pity. I mean, I was like an expert at all these things in the negative. And so it took a long time for him to burn these things out. And if I do feel myself slipping towards that, I just end up laughing because it's totally ludicrous for a Christian to get into self-pity. It just means they're, you know, they got their back towards God. They just need to turn around and face him and repent. So anyway, that was just, you know, he has a... I'm going to share this too. I'm going to roll here. Well, I just want to get across that, I mean, one word from God really can change your life. I mean, that's not just some nice Christian cliche. I'm walking along, and again, I'm same sort of thing. It's just that ground in my heart, and God was dealing with me, you know? So I'm going along saying, you know, it's going to have to come back. I have great faith in that. I haven't told that testimony completely yet. I will someday. But, you know, I'm getting all these wonderful words, and it's so, I just smile when I see some of these words, even that I'm sharing with you today, because if you knew where I was when he gave me these words, I'm like, I'm still trying to, I can't believe he would even choose me to do anything, let alone, you know, what he was saying to me. And so that was continuing on and continuing on, you know. So finally, I got in a situation where, I just, in my heart, see, it didn't come out, but in my heart, I'm going, oh, in the back of my mind, in my heart, I'm thinking, God's made a mistake. No, I mean, really, I really was believing that. So I'm going along, you know, moaning and groaning. I mean, this didn't happen every day, but, you know, I'd go out for 5-6 hour walks. Well, when I was having a bad day, I was doing that for 5 or 6 hours, you know, and of course, God's silent when you do that. So I'm going along doing that, you know, being gratified because, you know, after all, God must have made a mistake because, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I'm going along, and I'll never forget this. It's an ongoing joke between the father and I can still see the smile on his face. All of a sudden, he said, I don't make mistakes. Just like that. It shook me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And again, from that day forth, I've never thought he made a mistake and just began to pursue the fullness of what he called me to. But I mean, again, you had to understand the position I came from. And he was telling me all these great and glorious things. And I'm going, because, you know, at those days, you're thinking that you're responsible for some of this. Well, I knew I couldn't do any of those things. So I'm thinking, well, why would he tell me to do this? I can't do that. I hadn't quite had the revelation yet that he was going to empower me to do what he called me to do. But I'll never forget that. And even now, today, it's still an ongoing joke, and I can always get a smile on his face when he says that. And believe me, I do not think God makes mistakes anymore. I'll never forget that. He's only had to do that about 3 times. I might as well tell you the third time now. I'm going along, you know, and I'm moaning. And really, see, I didn't realize at the time, but I was getting into worry and concern over certain people I was interceding for, because there are people God gave me to intercede for, and they, you know, they have a high kingdom position, and it was important. It was important to me at the time, but somehow I got into fear on the whole thing. Didn't realize at the time I was about to. So I'm walking along, you know, doing the same thing, you know, praying in these mighty prayers, I think, but there's still that ground of worry and fear in there. So, and I didn't realize it, but again, God has a way of making you realize something. So I'm going, what am I going to do about that? And all of a sudden, Jesus speaks to me and he says, I've given you authority to handle that situation. Now handle it. Just like that. Oh, yep. But then in the next breath, he said something that was so funny, I was almost rolling on the ground. And that's the way he is. He will minister exactly what we need, and he can be tough. But it's always perfect love. But in the next minute, I can't remember what he said now, but he said something that was so funny about another situation. And I laughed, you know, and that touched my heart, you know, and I realized from that moment forth, if I feel myself slipping into fear about something, exercise faith. It'll knock the fear out. And you won't have to have him come and say stuff like that to you. He only has to do it once, I can tell you that. Because nobody's that unalert. But again, that brings me back to the point I was kind of talking about earlier. The power of the third day anointing, the fullness of the anointing on the ministry of Jesus being released to the glorious church, going to accomplish great things. And we'll have those types of words. And maybe people will think we're arrogant when we say them. But no, we'll be walking in righteousness, and that supernatural boldness will go out and just knock everything out of its way that was there. Because those words that I just shared with you that God gave me changed my life forever. And I don't want to be in a position where he has to say that again. He just has to remind me just a bit about that incident, and I get right back on track. Oh, yeah, so I haven't gotten to this yet. So Jesus spoke. I got to the beginning of it. And so he's saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. And this time I'm feeling like, oh, like that. And he always does that. I mean, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And I mean, he said things to me at times where I wouldn't have spoken to me if I was God. I could tell you that. And always the perfect moment, but he understands that. So he said that, he said, well done for standing against the evil one. And this really is a word for all of us who've been seeking God corporately. He says, battling the evil one step by step, always pressing on toward the higher calling which I had placed in your heart before the foundation of the earth. Wow. Always keeping your eyes fixed upon me, the author and developer of your faith. Indeed, you are esteemed in the courts of heaven, and I say to you that from this day forth, you shall be seated with me in heavenly places. And again, this is a word corporately to the glorious church. For I shall send, make sure I didn't skip two pages. For I shall send my apostles and prophets directly from the throne room to build my church into a pure vessel of glory. I say to you this day that the earth is about to be filled with glory, and they shall see great things, which even my children could not comprehend at this time. For all that will take place in my glorious body, from this point forth until rapture, will exceed abundantly beyond all one could ask or think, because of the glorious power residing and working within them. Residing is a key word. Carry on, my beloved ones, for there is much work to do. And so, you begin to get the picture of what God has planned. And one of the words I ran across today was that there's great joy in heaven now because this plan is unfolding. And it's being released from the very heart of God himself. And just, it's going to be poured forth. And I'll tell you, we are going to be a people who walk in the joy and the peace and the love of God. And from that place, we can do all things. Because it's Christ that's within us that's causing us to do these things. Another aspect of the third day ministry. When a person comes into your presence, you will be able to discern immediately the degree of demonic influence in their life. From demon possession, just the subtlest ground of fear that the devil's trying to work off of. And we will be able to take the right steps, because with that discernment comes the discernment of what to say and do, or not say and do, as the case may be. And with pinpoint accuracy, every last member of the body who's got both their feet planted firmly in the kingdom will do great and mighty exploits. And the captives will be set free. This is the reality. I mean, I don't even know why. I better not go there. Yeah, I'm going to go there. But I won't say what I was going to say. I mean, really, to be honest with you, I really don't know why some people go to church. Because what's happening in the places they're going to are environments of death and darkness. And you see, once a person's given their life to God, the devil's after them. We know that from experience. And the fact is, he's trying to take them out. And this has been preached before, but as the glorious church begins to put him to flight, he's going to strike out at whatever he can strike out at. And so it's a dangerous thing to be in an environment of death and darkness. We've talked about the importance of spiritual environments. And if they're in an environment of spiritual darkness and death, as far as their church life goes, you can count on the fact it's going to spill over into the rest of their life. And there's no escape from that. Unfortunately, many of those people believe they're in the center of God's will. They're not. But thank God that there will be a great light going forth, a great beacon going forth. And if they will move their heart in the least bit towards God, then he will lead them to where they need to go. But we will have that discernment. The gifts of the Spirit in their fullness. One of the things that really blessed me when I first came here was maybe only the only other place I ever heard this, other than my own time with God, was the fact that all the gifts of the Spirit could work as the Spirit wills in any given believer at any given moment. There was a strong second day doctrine. You know, it's like, okay, you have this gift, you have this gift, you have that gift. Well, that's ridiculous. But anyway, the point is that was a blessing, and we're going to see the fullness of these things. We're going to experience and walk in the fullness of these things. I remember another word he gave me. He said that my faithful ones will read the hearts of all those who cross their path like an open book in this last hour. Well, that's not so people go around and say, well, did you hear what so-and-so did, or do you know what so-and-so's doing? It's so we can take the steps so they can be led to a repentance and you know, minister perfectly to them. I mean, these things are simple, but, you know, I remember when I first started out, in the different situations I'd see, I mean, people get hold of some of the gifts, they just go nuts. I mean, some of the strangest things happened. And I didn't know much about the gifts in those days, but I knew something was wrong. But in these days, we're going to see the purity of God's love through the gifts being released exactly with pinpoint accuracy. Okay, I think I've got time to do one more. Well, again, this is another warning. We're ready for this. I mean, because I don't know about you, but I'll tell you one thing. The difference between somebody speaking a word of edification and encouragement and thanksgiving through the Spirit of God to the individual, again, the glory goes automatically to God, and somebody coming and speaking in a spirit of flattery is like night and day. I mean, it's just like they might as well just have self-agenda written right on their sleeve. You know, I mean, even if it's as simple as just wanting to be liked by somebody or, you know, rubbing elbows. I mean, that's what happened the second day. They had to hire security guards for a lot of the people because there was, you know, people just wanting to get close for their own sake. And so squirrely things happen. But anyway, I better read this word. I'm going to do many wondrous things in the lives of those around you who have hearkened to my word. Therefore, many shall seek to place themselves in a position of closeness to you. Now, see, that's inordinate because they're seeking to place themselves in a position. If God leads, that's different. But you will continue to go only where I would have you go, for I will show those who are seeking my face, you know, those who are pure of heart, how to remain in a position of receiving from me through you. Again, that's those who are ministering. And I shall keep those who have ulterior motives away. And of course, again, that lines up with the fact that we will have no enemies in the camp. Well, I'm going to stop there, and I will continue on the next time, and we will see where it goes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words of prophecy and words of exhortation that you've blessed us with over the years, both personally and corporately. We thank you, Father, for their power. We thank you for the revelation of their importance, particularly in these days, Father. And we just thank you, Father, for every pure word going forth in the body of Christ these days. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.